In their 32 years together, Kronos Quartet has performed a rather eclectic repertoire, everything from the music of Béla Bartók, Thelonious Monk, and Philip Glass to Jimi Hendrix. And by gleefully attempting and stomping on classical music stereotypes and commissioning hundreds of original works, the quartet has played a major role in revitalizing chamber music. On their latest recording, they've collaborated with an Azerbaijani composer. The CD, Mugham Sayaghi, Music of Frangiz Alizadeh, has been released by Nonesuch Records. I'm very pleased to welcome Kronos violinist and musical director David Harrington back to my show today. Hello.
Hi.
I understand that you were inspired to form Kronos Quartet after hearing George Crumb's Vietnam-inspired work, Black Angels. Can you tell us about that piece and how it set off a lifelong career of experimentation?
Well, in 1973, I was a young musician searching for the right music to play, and I wasn't finding what I needed. And then all of a sudden, one night on the radio, I heard this music that felt right, and it felt wild and bizarre and alarming and beautiful and wonderful. And I thought, I've got to do this. Mm-hmm. And it was as simple as that, really.
Were there any groups like Kronos performing or recording at that time?
Well, let's see. There was the Concord Quartet was playing a lot of recent music. I know that the Fine Arts Quartet had played a lot of music.
But still within the Western tradition.
Probably more, yes. And I'd grown up looking at the globe and realizing that a lot of the music that I had heard when I was a teenager was written by these people that lived in Vienna, Austria. And the world looked a lot larger to me than that. And I realized, you know, when I was about 13 or so, that I didn't know any music from Africa or Asia or South America or anywhere else. And it seemed bizarre. And so at that age, I began to try to explore. And exploring it can become a lifelong passion.
Well, I've heard that you don't really like those music categories that they set up in record stores, but I would assume that you wound up looking through the world music bins.
Well, you know, I was just at several record stores last night, and it takes me a few hours to get through a record store because you never know what you might find in any of the categories that they set up. And but yes, I spend a lot of time in the world music bins and opera and country music and jazz and rock and experimental and electronica, you name it. There's a lot to explore.
Legend has it that Mick Jagger and Keith Richards first met because Mick recognized a rare blues album that Keith was carrying under his arm. How did you and the Kronos find each other at Mills College?
Well, Mills College is where we had a job. We didn't really meet there.
And so you met before then, not noticing what people were carrying under their arms, I assume.
No, and it was, we met by recommendation and by audition and by sharing common interests.
It's been pretty good. Only one of the members has dropped out in all these years, isn't that true?
Well, in the early days, the first 5 years or so of Kronos, there were numerous adjustments and changes that were happening, and basically it was pretty impossible to do what we wanted to do in those days, and it took a massive amount of willpower and perseverance.
Impossible because there wasn't a big enough audience for it?
Yeah, and it was hard to explain an idea that was going to take years and years to begin to actualize. I mean, even for example, the music with Frangiz Alizadeh that is on our new album, it took me several years to be able to meet her after first hearing her music. And because in the late 80s, in those days, I spoke no Russian or Azeri or Turkish. And I needed to have a translator, and I didn't know where she lived, so there's all kinds of things that go into our music. The first thing would be hearing it, and the second being inspired, and the second would be locating the composer, and then sharing a conversation with that person.
Does the location of Azerbaijan give us a clue as to the kind of music we hear from it. This is a former Soviet state, Russia on the north, Iran to the south. Is the music kind of an East beats West kind of thing?
I think that the music of Frangis Alizadeh is definitely that. And as a performer, Frangis is the person that brought the music of George Crumb and John Cage and Messiaen and Schoenberg to Azerbaijan.
So she incorporates the folk traditions of the country with contemporary Western music. The title means in the style of Mugam, doesn't it? What is Mugam?
I think of Mugam as similar to a form of raga. It's a approach to a scale. And actually, the Mugam Sayagi is a very old scale that is... There's almost a secret form of communication between lovers in this scale, and it's something that it kind of got past the censors in probably the 16th century or something like that.
Well, let's listen to a little segment from the album. I'm talking to David Harrington, the violinist with the Kronos String Quartet, also its musical director, and we just heard a brief segment from their latest CD called Mugam Sayagi, the music of Frangis Alizadeh, and some of those instruments I could recognize, but there were some sounds that didn't make any Western sense to me. What was I hearing there?
Well, you're hearing several unusual qualities. One is that Frangis prepared the piano in an unusual way. She laid her beaded necklace over the strings, and it creates kind of a rattling on certain of the notes. And then also the instrument that I was playing, if you listen a little farther into the album, you'll hear a very unusual sound, which is coming from a violin, that is, but it's very common in Azerbaijan. And it's the sound of a kamanche. But we turned my instrument into a kind of a different instrument.
Do you hold it differently? Because often violins are not held under the chin in other traditions.
Well, I've held it under my chin for 45 years, so at least for the recording, I needed to keep doing it that way.
The album also includes water dripping, murmuring voices.
Yes.
Have you been listening to her music for a long time? Because this piece dates back to 1993, doesn't it?
The one you just heard is her most recent piece for us, called Apsheron Quintet. The Mugam Sayagi, the title track, is the first piece that she wrote for us, yes, from 1992, I believe.
So is this a collaboration? Is there a difference between a collaboration and a commission?
Well, what's happened is that after a certain point, we realized there's a body of work here that Frangis has created for Kronos and with us that we feel adds up to something very special and unusual and something that we would like our audience to know about, and that's why we put all these pieces together.
And in your album from 2002, Nuevo, you collaborated with Mexican composers.
That's right, yes.
Very different kind of sensibility.
That's right, and there's hundreds of things to do as a musician. I could live to be 500 years old, and there's still many, many things that I would be able to do as a member of Kronos.
Does this require bending on both sides, the composer side and your side as well?
Yes, I think so. I think finding flexibility together is a really important part of our work, and it starts, though, with being struck and moved and impressed with a musical experience that we might hear or might somehow become acquainted with. And in the case of Frangis, it was I was doing an interview, something like the one we're doing right now, and a gentleman at the BBC in London said, you know, I just heard this marvelous music from this woman in Azerbaijan, and he gave me a cassette tape, and this was in 1988. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 3 years later, we invited Frangis to the United States for the first time, and we had a translator, and she had her Russian-English dictionary, and we rehearsed on Mugam Sayagi together, right here in New York, and then we premiered the piece here.
Now, I understand that this Saturday you'll be performing the U.S. premiere of a Meredith Monk piece at Carnegie Hall, her first for string quartet. Actually, she does so many different things in her very eclectic career. Can you tell us about working with her? She
Meredith.
She's not just a composer.
Meredith is an amazing person, a fantastic spirit, and someone that we've had the most wonderful time working with in the last several months. And her new piece called String Songs is one of our favorite additions to our work in many, many years.
Is it possible to collaborate with someone who is famous for going on art retreats to be alone while she's working on her things?
Well, I mean, what she did for us is she brought a number of ideas into our realm, into our rehearsals, and we began to kind of fashion this music together. It felt like we were molding clay together with the composer. And so, you know, every note of this new piece, each member of Kronos feels totally committed to and totally a part of. And it's a fantastic feeling to be a part of this new work.
You've made a name for yourself as a group that can perform pretty much any kind of music, but you do have limitations. Even though you have performed quite a few things that are related to jazz, you don't improvise, do you?
You know, that's something that we have not spent our lives working on. And I mean,
so how do you approach a Thelonious Monk piece or a Bill Evans or an Ornette Coleman, just simply as a composition?
Yes.
And somebody does an arrangement.
There could be an arrangement made. We, in the case of our work on the music of Thelonious Monk, or let's say Charles Mingus, we would listen to all the performances that we could find of a certain piece, and we'd find one that we felt was the very best one for us, and then we'd get somebody to make a version for us.
You talked about how difficult it was in the early years. Now you are very famous. You perform regularly at BAM and concert halls around the world. You have received numerous awards, including a Grammy last year for Best Chamber Music Performance. Does it feel strange to no longer be an outsider?
Well, you haven't heard some of the ideas I've got for the future. So, who knows where our music might go next? I try to keep my ears open, and that's a full-time job, you know.
And I understand you've just announced a 6-concert mini-festival at Carnegie Hall called Live Mix. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. Well, we're delighted to be having a festival of our work in the spring of 2006. There will be collaborations with Terry Riley and the Chinese pipa player Wu Man. He's just written a quintet for the five of us. It's absolutely great. We're going to reveal that new piece there. The next recording of ours that will be coming out is music of Raoul Dev Burman, the great film soundtrack composer from India.
And so a little Bollywood mixed in all of this?
Well, we're going to... The festival will end in Carnegie Hall with Asha Bhosle, the great film soundtrack singer, will be joining us.
Meanwhile, this Saturday, the Kronos Quartet will be performing, that's, by the way, February 5th at 7:30, the premiere of Meredith Monk's first piece for string quartet at Zankel Hall in Carnegie Hall. You can call 212-247-7800 for tickets. And we're going to go out with something from an earlier CD, a piece of Philip Glass's String Quartet No. 3 from the film Mishima. Thank you so much, David Harrington, for being our guest today.
My pleasure.